Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, here we go on an interesting Wednesday, live in Los Angeles, still a Lakers town. This is The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. Fox Sports Radio, right here on FS1. Oh, boy. Clippers. I'm not a huge fan of the word choke. Greg Norman at the Masters felt like a choke. That was a choke. Can't lead 3-1. Have big leads and wither away. Joy Taylor's joining me. Well, the Miami Heat won. You're happy.
Oh, I'm having a great morning. But I will not front. I also picked the Clippers to win the championship, so... You're my partner. Can't leave you hanging out to dry. I'll take this walk of shame with you. That was something to watch.
Okay, so this is the first time watching the NBA in my life, 40 years, where the young teams went to the playoffs and rise. Miami's young, Boston's young, Denver's young. Hell, Dallas played great. If Phoenix didn't make the playoffs, they were great. And the old teams, Milwaukee was awful. And Houston was awful. And the Clippers have older stars were awful. Only LeBron and the Lakers as an old team are playing well. And that's probably the power of LeBron and his greatness and leadership. Now, do I think for the next 40 years that old teams will get to the playoffs, the veterans, and they'll shrink, and the young teams will just flourish? No. Do I think the bubble is part of kind of has helped younger players? Yeah, there's no crowds. Young players shrink in the playoffs with the toxicity of crowds. And the old players are married. They got kids. It's getting in their head. That's some of it. But let's not worry about that. Why did the Clippers lose? Okay, Kawhi's overrated. Well, I saw him be the second youngest guy to ever win a MVP in the finals. He beat LeBron, Wade, and Bosch. I don't think he's overrated. I think he's great. Well, Clippers, no good. They were overrated. Well, they were 12-1 pre-bubble when they were healthy, and they gave LeBron and AD and LeBron some problems. Let's make the complicated simple. All of our lives are shaped by our choices. We can blame our parents. We can blame the president. We can blame our neighbor. We can blame our brother-in-law. Guys can blame their wives. Our lives are overwhelmingly shaped by our choices. Kawhi had three choices after winning in Toronto. And I want you to just think about these. Number one, stay in Toronto. Great general manager, great head coach, very good roster, two emerging stars, Van Vliet, Pascal Siakam. There would be no pressure. They won a title. There's no pressure. It's in the East, which is easier than the West. Again, the structure, the fans, the GM, the coach, the veterans, emerging stars, no pressure, you already won a title. He could have chosen that. He did not. His second choice was, let's go to the Lakers, massive brand, join LeBron. Anthony Davis was already there. There's no brand pressure. They got banners all over the place. It's the biggest game in town. LeBron would be the star, AD would be the two, and you could be, as you usually are, quiet, covert, nonverbal, win titles, and do your load management. Nobody would care. He did not choose that. Our life is based on choices. He chose the Clippers that have a history of losing, basically rent the arena, seemingly, from the team that owns it, it feels like, even though the Lakers don't. Go to a coach who has struggled in the postseason many times, Doc Rivers, and with a teammate, Paul George, who has a history of shrinking. And a franchise, the Clippers, who have a history of shrinking. That was the choice. And it should be noted, San Antonio, Kawhi wasn't responsible for building chemistry because they had it before he got there. Manu, Tony, Tim. Toronto, he wasn't responsible for building chemistry. They'd been number one seed the previous year. They had good chemistry. But in Los Angeles with the Clippers, Kawhi was to a large degree because they had to give up some pieces to get Paul and Kawhi. He was responsible for building this chemistry. He's not a real talker. He's not real communicative. He's not real verbal. And isn't in the end of it all a chemistry issue? I watched last night. Bad shots. The Clippers didn't have a lot of good open looks. When they did, they didn't hit them. Denver was fast and fluid and, oh, they just got great open looks, layups and dunks and open looks. It's like a young team that had been playing together for a while and they were confident and the Clippers looked kind of static and they were tight and they weren't loose and they weren't getting open shots. And when they did, they weren't hitting them. Maybe it's just as simple as this. Kawhi had three choices and he chose the wrong one. A franchise in the Clippers that historically shrinks. A teammate in Paul George that historically shrinks. And I am a Doc Rivers fan. He's the Joe Torre of the NBA. He's great with veteran players. Wasn't a good series for him. It was not a good series. He had bad second halves and bad fourth quarters. It was not a great series for Doc. And it happens. It happens. Maybe it's just that simple. I don't think Kawhi is overrated. I don't think the Clippers lack talent. I do not believe young teams will now, from this point going forward, dominate the playoffs, and the veteran all-stars will all shrink. Is there a bubble component to some of this story of young teams flourishing? Sure. This is about choices. By the way, Kyrie left LeBron. Bruh, how'd it work out? Paul George stayed in OKC, could have chosen LeBron. How'd that work out? Ty Lue could have coached the Lakers, wanted more money, chose the Clippers. How'd that work out? Sometimes it's as simple as this. Stay with LeBron or choose LeBron. It'll all work out. He'll take all the pressure. He'll take the big shots. He'll take the media criticism. LeBron will just take it all, put it on his shoulders. Bro, come on and join us. Just, it's funny to think now, right? When I say this morning, it sounds so easy. LeBron and AD were already there. We saw what Kevin Durant did. Just go join those guys. And he chose the Clippers. And he chose Paul George. And that's what it looks like. Here's Paul George after the game.
I think internally, we've always felt this is not a championship or bust year for us. We can only get better the longer we stay together and the more we're around each other. The more chemistry for this group, the better. I think that's really the tale of the tape of the season. We just didn't have enough time together.
I kind of think it was championship bust. And if it wasn't, because Lou Williams said later he thought it was, and Doc Rivers thought it was, and Kawhi thought he was, and Steve Ballmer thought it was, and the front office, who I text often, thought it was, maybe this is part of the communication issues. Paul George may not be around. Like, if you thought this was we got a lot of runway on the tarmac, remember this. This is a Laker town. It is a Dodger town. It is a USC football town. It's becoming an LA Ram town. This is a fight. Steve Ballmer just bought a bunch of land for $1 zillion to build his own arena because he's trying to separate and create his own brand. So it's one thing to lose. It's another to potentially watch the Lakers win a title. That hurts. I mean, if the Lakers were already out and the Clippers lose and you're like, well, okay, Denver Nuggets, the bubble, they win a championship. No, that's not what's going to happen. It's very possible now. The biggest roadblock for the Lakers is gone. The Lakers win the championship. That's not going to play well in the building. Paul George may not be long if he's we got a lot of runway here. He didn't look at it as a 1 year. A lot of people in that building, they were already online looking at championship rings. Let me segue to this. Speaking of LeBron James, Nick Wright in 15 minutes will be obnoxious. If you want to turn, go ahead. I'm sure it'll be, whatever. If you want to deal and watch kind of that kind of nonsense, whatever. Nick Wright will be joining us in 15 minutes, and it's going to be bad for me. The sea is now opening up for LeBron. It's now LeBron James with all sorts of finals and championship experience will be taking on Denver just took the binky out of their mouth. Miami and Boston. By the way, the old Lakers just got 6 days rest. Oh, by the way, the Clippers, a roster built to beat LeBron, four wing defenders gone. LeBron's career is actually, when you're honest about it, has been a series of obstacles he's had to overcome. Let's talk about him. He gets drafted by Cleveland. They're awful. Everything's bad. Cleveland stinks. You like to get drafted by great organizations. You know, the Celtics or, you know, Packers. No. Number two, he walks right into a blizzard called the Big Three in Boston. Not great. Then he ends up facing the Warriors dynasty. That's another obstacle. Oh, by the way, star teammates getting hurt. Bosch was often hobbled. D. Wade in Miami. Kyrie and Kevin Love get hurt. He has to go to a finals with Matthew Dellavedova. And then he's had to deal with flakes. J.R. Smith forgot how to keep score of a game. And Kyrie Irving just bailed because he's Kyrie Irving and the world is flat, according to him. But now it's different. 17 years and the sea is opening. Now it's young teams. The Clippers are out of the way. They got a break. Denver's a bunch of babies. Now Denver's going to understand what the big difference between, you know, the second round and the Western Conference Finals. There's a lot of difference. That's the difference between the Sun Bowl and the Rose Bowl. That's a big difference. Second round, who was in it last year? Who knows? Who remembers? We remember conference finals. We remember finals. And through all those roadblocks with LeBron, the flakes, guys don't know the score, the injuries, Kyrie, Kevin Love, the big three, the bad ownership, all those roadblocks, nine finals, three titles. And for the first time ever, well-rested LeBron, who, by the way, got hurt last year, didn't play a ton, COVID this year. Think about this. COVID was actually a break for LeBron's legs. Giannis, the Eastern Rim protector. LeBron can struggle with that. Out. Kawhi and the Clippers built to stop LeBron. Out. Anthony Davis, who has a history of being injured, is finally healthy. D. Wade and Bosch, who never got hurt before LeBron, were all banged up. Kyrie Irving, Kevin Love, they got hurt. Now it's like Anthony Davis is Mr. Brittle. He's not hurt. The sea is opening up for LeBron. Opponents, health, none of it in his way.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
There are rumors and reports now that OBJ for the Cleveland Browns is on the market. We've been saying this now. I've been saying this since early last year. It's better for Baker. It's better for OBJ. It's better for Cleveland. This feels like a forced relationship. It's not working. He's been there 17 games. And in 17 games, he had 23 yards. It marked the fourth time in 17 games. Odell Beckham, 5 years ago, best receiver in football, fourth time he had yardage in the 20s. Six times in 17 games, he's had three catches or fewer. This guy 5 years ago was the best wide receiver. We were talking about Randy Moss. Like, it's not working. I've said this before. Relationships can't be this hard. Amari Cooper and Dak Prescott, the minute he arrived, worked. Randy Moss and Brady, the minute he arrived at work. I mean, good God, Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins, 15 catches the minute he arrived. Emmanuel Sanders and Garoppolo last year. It worked instantly. It can't be this hard. Rip the Band-Aid off. That's what Arizona did with Josh Rosen. It's what Baltimore did with Earl Thomas. Just rip the Band-Aid off. Take the heat for a day. Rip it off. Listen, the grass isn't always greener. Eli and OBJ, he averaged almost seven catches a game and 93 yards. That's big production. Bakery's averaging 4.5 catches and 60 yards. That's mediocre, and OBJ is not a mediocre player. The issue here is Baker Mayfield is not as good as everybody thinks, and OBJ can be at times a little needy. That's okay. I was in my 20s. Baker's just not as good as he thinks. Baker is not good enough to be obsessed with getting one guy the ball. OBJ's better with a better quarterback and a better organization where he feels loved. He feels stability. He doesn't feel chaos. He's not good in that spot. The more chaos New York had, the worse he got. When he got there initially with Coughlin, there was no chaos. And he was great. but he's a kid that doesn't work good in chaos. But you just, you know, when you got a problem, the first step in solving it is admitting you got a problem. You got to admit you got a problem or you can't solve it. Cleveland's got to be like 17 games, three catches, 23 yards, Odell Beckham, it ain't working. There's a lot of teams that need a receiver. Baltimore could probably use him. San Francisco right now is a mess at wide receiver. Green Bay, maybe not their style, but they could use another guy. Wouldn't you think different Green Bay today if they had Odell Beckham? I would. Seattle. There's plenty of takers out there, and there's teams with the, good God, the New York Jets, if you wanted to go back to New York. There's plenty of spots for OBJ. But you got to just acknowledge, it's not supposed to be that hard. I say this all the time. If you're in a marriage 9 years and you still have to go to therapy once a month, it shouldn't be that much work. You should be able to sit on the couch, watch a TV show, eat pizza, laugh, and feel great together. You can't get along only when you're in Paris on a vacation. You got to be able to sit on the couch and laugh on a Tuesday when it's rainy outside and there's crappy television on. You sit there and pour a glass of wine, talk, and it works. This thing ain't working. It's just not working. So there's all sorts of rumors out there. And by the way, OBJ, I say this to all pro athletes. Antonio Brown wanted out. OBJ wanted out. The grass ain't greener. Pittsburgh was a good spot. Giants was a good spot. Listen, it's one thing if you're Kevin Durant and can choose where you go. But if you're not a free agent and you're demanding to be traded, you can end up in Cleveland. You can end up, you know, with Oakland. Antonio Brown and OBJ, I understand guys wanting out, but if you're not a free agent, you're not going to dictate where you go. And the grass in pro sports is not always green. Even Kawhi, when he had a choice, may have chosen the wrong place.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
You know, there's a point in my life I thought I was a mentor for Nick Wright. It was a respectful relationship. Then it took an ugly turn about a year ago, and he has so much fun mocking me. It is sometimes, now it's sometimes it's testy. But I've got to be honest, he has called this all year. Nick Wright doubted the Clippers. And he kept saying, chemistry is bad, load management, nonsense. Brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. You cannot wipe the smile off Nick Wright's face. I mean, look at him. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Hi. Let me fix my hair. How's it going?
Hey, I'm not doing great. Most days I wake up and there's rainbows and birds. Today, it's a big stink ball, but you know what? So let's just start with this.
Colin.
What?
Before we even start, can I make you feel better?
Okay.
Let me make you feel better. Everyone thinks I'm going to come on here and I'm going to hammer you.
Yeah.
Here's the deal. You were obviously wrong about the Lakers-Nuggets series.
Yeah.
But so was every single prognosticator in America. You were also wrong about the Clippers-Nuggets series, I should say, about the Clippers winning the title. But so was about 40 to 50% of the prognosticators in America. You're just in a bad spot because the only person who had the Clippers dead right all year, you got to talk to every week. Every week I tried to tell you. I warned you. There were all the warning signs. It docks history. Kawhi being wildly overrated by folks that want to say he could be top five all time. Way off P, acting like he's been a great playoff performer in anything other than a Gatorade commercial. All of it. I tried to warn you, my friend, but now go ahead. You can have your show back.
So well, let's do this.
Baker?
Let's start with this. You know, I started my show saying we all make choices in life. He could have stayed in Toronto with the best GM-coach combo in the league. He could have gone to LeBron and AD. Is it as simple as he chose Paul George in a losing franchise? He made a bad decision. Is it that simple?
Well, that didn't help, but I would say the choice that Kawhi really should have made would have been to play better. That's the first choice I would make. Hey, Kawhi, don't be awful in the second half of these games. You disrespect the regular season in total all year long, so you are ramping up for the postseason. And in the first round, while your offensive numbers were great, a 21-year-old Slovenian kid was giving you buckets all day long. And then in round two, and I don't know if we can show it. I don't know if I can use some of my graphics on your show. It's kind of rude. But Kawhi Leonard's first half versus second half is abysmal in this series.
Yeah.
That's 30% shooting. And oh, wait, there's more. How about just the fourth quarters? for the clutch closer who can win another finals MVP. Show me his fourth quarters if we could. Oh, that's horrifying. Three of the seven games in this series, Kawhi with 0 fourth quarter points. Last night, 0 fourth quarter points, 1 second half field goal. So yeah, should he, option one, go to LA with LeBron, win titles, sure. Option two, stay in Toronto, a team that got just as far as the Clippers this year in the postseason and didn't suffer the embarrassment of being blown out in their game seven round two loss. That would have been a good one. Option three, go to the Clippers and not make them trade everything for Paul George so you can actually get a rim protector. Option four is the one he did, but option four was never going to end in a title. I told you that. But it could have ended at least in the team's first conference finals appearance if he wasn't awful in the second half of these games. And I just missed it. You and the real upper tier of broadcasters in America must be on a text chain that I'm not included in yet. Maybe I never will be, because evidently there was an embargo on Kawhi Leonard criticism. Mark Jackson, Jeff Van Gundy, Mike Green last night, love them all. Hey, were they aware Kawhi was 1 of 11? Should have let the audience know. I don't know. The fact that he melted down in the fourth quarters of these games seems relevant for a guy I was told is the closest thing we've seen to Jordan since Kobe. But listen, what do I know? I'm just the guy that called this all year. So who knows? Who knows?
Okay. So how about this? For years and years, the Red Sox had as much talent as the Yankees, but there was just – they just couldn't get past it. Until you win it, it's hard. Is some of this sort of institutional, they've always been the shrinking franchise and they don't get far enough. Is it fair to say, and I hate this word, the Clippers frankly choked? Is that fair?
Oh, the second part's definitely fair. I don't know if we can put the juju of the organization on them, but this is arguably the single biggest gag job in NBA history. So we know the 3-1 comebacks. The contemporary ones that you think of, teams that could win the title who blew a 3-1 lead, at least when KD did it with the Thunder, they were playing an all-time Warriors team. At least when the Warriors did it to LeBron, they were playing the greatest player of all time. They're playing a team who has 0 on the roster finals appearances. Only one guy has made a conference finals. That's Paul Millsap, a coach who got fired in Sacramento. A 22-year-old kid in Jamal Murray. Nikola Jokic, who's got a lower vertical leap than Joy Taylor. And listen, he was great. But to blow that lead and then after the game say, oh, it was chemistry. You were up 15 in game 5 and gagged. You were up 19 in the second half of game 6. And gagged. And these front runners that all year long, if they got punched back, they were like, why try when you can just wait for tomorrow? We're up 7 in the second half last night. The Nuggets go on an 8-0 run, and everyone, including your patron saint of basketball, Kawhi Leonard, said, this moment's too much for me. And I want to say one more thing on Kawhi, because obviously he was unbelievable last year in the postseason. But what we are seeing is this was the first playoff run in his career where if his team underachieved, he was going to get skewered. The exact scenario LeBron's been living in for 15 years. And guess what happened?
Yeah.
The weight of expectations held him down. Obviously, it crushed way off P the whole time, but he's not in the conversation for best players alive. Kawhi shouldn't have been anyway, but certainly now that's a wrap. It's LeBron, KD when he gets healthy, and we'll see what happens with Giannis. But that story is now over for one Kawhi Leonard for the time being.
Well, Kawhi also didn't have to create chemistry in San Antonio. An old team had it when he arrived. He didn't have to create it in Toronto. The old team had it when he arrived. He was asked in L.A. to create chemistry, and he's fairly nonverbal. You do bring up Paul George. This sounds hyperbolic, perhaps, but I now have multiple histories of Westbrook and Paul George and Harden. And you're not going to trade Harden. But would you consider going, the Paul George thing, we know what it is. Why just go through this again? Kawhi has got an opt-out year coming up fairly quick. Do you move off Paul George? Do you move off him?
Well, I think what might be more likely is they move off the coach. Everyone loves Doc Rivers as a man. He is a great leader, and I think he's a great person, but he has authored some really, really awful playoff performances
that's
with
fair.
Favored teams.
Yeah, that's fair.
And his playoff resume, when he doesn't have Kevin Garnett with him, is a really, really tough one. Six times he's been up 3-1 or 3-2 and lost a series. The problem for trading Paul George is this. He also has that opt-out. So how much value does Paul George have for a team that feels like they're only going to get him for 1 year? Like, if you called up OKC and were like, hey, can we have those six first-round picks, SGA and Gallinari, for Paul George? Can we just undo that? They would laugh you off the phone. Like, I don't know what Paul George trade is available out there. And listen, the Clippers are going to have the same issues next year they had this year. It is an odd roster. That's the thing America refused to acknowledge, partially because of your endless propaganda. They had a bunch of DHs. You had Patrick Beverley, who is a tremendous defensive player and stinks on offense. Lou Williams and Montrezl Harrell, who are tremendous offensive players and stink on defense. They have no rim protection, and they have a coach who all of a sudden it's game seven, early second half, and he's so anxious, it's like, Reggie Jackson, go in the game even though you haven't played in 5 days. So that's who they're going to have next year. They might lose Marcus Morris. They might lose Montrezl Harrell. They're going to try to run it back. I don't think it's good enough, and it clearly wasn't good enough this year.
Yeah, they also don't have a true point guard, it feels like, most of the time on the floor, and you see that does matter, engineering stuff. Okay, finally, couple minutes here. LeBron's had to overcome Dan Gilbert, the Big Three, a dynasty, flaky JR and Kyrie, injuries going into a final. Am I nuts? It's the sea is finally opening up for him. AD's healthy. He's rested because of COVID. He got time off. Kawhi's gone. Giannis is gone. Is he finally catching a break in the postseason?
Well, so here's the deal. Your point's well taken. Listen, LeBron, under normal NBA circumstances, has five or six rings already. The last four NBA finals he's lost have come to teams with four or five Hall of Fame players on them. Like, it's just been, what he's been up against is somewhat unprecedented, plus the Dellavedova year, plus the year after Kyrie when he had no help aside from an injured Kevin Love. That's all well taken. I do think, of course, the Bucks not living up to their potential potentially helps them, and the Clippers doing exactly what I thought they would potentially helps them. Should be noted that in 2020, like this calendar year, they beat the Bucks before the restart, before the season paused, and they beat the Clippers both times they played them. But we knew this was going to happen, right? The revisionist history of, oh, look at the easy path LeBron had, as if folks weren't, not that I'm going to name names, Colin Cowherd, picking Portland to beat them. Yeah. And as if when Houston was up 1-0, they weren't saying, you know, Harden, Westbrook, three-pointers, big team, doesn't shoot well for the Lakers. That could be tough. And so now this, the narrative will flip, because for most people, their basketball analysis starts and ends with, how can I discredit LeBron James? So I don't know if you, and I'll leave you on this, Colin, you can do those Google Trends searches where it's like, how often is something searched for? The word asterisk was a big subject of conversation right when the restart was getting going. Then when it looked like LeBron might lose, no one discussed it at all. Get ready for asterisk to come back into play here in the next few days. People are like, well, does it really count? I mean, if Miami's on the other side of the bracket, is this a real title? The thing is this. He was always going to win the title. This team was always the best team. They showed it throughout the regular season, and they've shown it throughout the postseason. I think the Nuggets are going to be an interesting matchup. The Lakers will clearly beat them. And the Heat might beat the Celtics, but I hope the Celtics win. Because LeBron, the one thing he's never done is sweep a team in the finals, and he'd do that to Boston. So you're right, ring number four on deck. That was happening anyway. It just got there a little differently than a lot of people expected.
Remember when I was your mentor? Remember those days? It was a respectful relationship.
Yeah, you used to have better takes.
All right, buddy.
What do you want from me?
You're fan.
See ya. Yeah. See ya, Joy. See you as well. Bye.
Bye, Nick. By the way, I can touch the net, and I'm 5'2", so no more disrespect to my
vertical.
All right,
all right, all right.
Nick Wright.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
One of the things I've always felt my job, whether I'm right or wrong, is to add perspective. That's what we work on for 2 hours, trying to offer perspective. Unfortunately, many in the media use a different P word, often panic. The Big Ten's going to play football, and there's all sorts of panic from members of the media instead of offering perspective. It's going to probably be bumpy for all of college football because the players are on campuses. There's a lot of different ways to face COVID as a league. UFC rented an island. Hockey and the NBA went into a bubble. Baseball and the NFL are in a highly regulated non-bubble. They've all worked. This is a story about the Big Ten that spent weeks and months trying to get their medical protocols right. And this morning, they think they've got it right. Not perfect, not flawless, but the most right. We've seen it can be bumpy. Three Big 12 games were canceled last week. Virginia Tech was postponed. This is going to be bumpy. You're on a college campus. But the media should spend less time instilling panic and more offering perspective. Here's mine. The Big 10 wanted to get it right, not be first or be right. They now get their testing on Friday. They get the results 15 minutes later. They feel the most comfortable they have felt yet with it. The losers in the battle against COVID in sports are the panic drivers. There's a lot of different ways to go at it. Rent an island. Go into a bubble. A highly regulated non-bubble. Some of this in college football is about resources. I called two athletic directors 2 months ago, one from a major school and one from a small school. And the small school athletic director told me, we don't have $6 million a year to make this work. The big school athletic director told me, it'll be rough, but we do have $6 million to get through a football season. A lot of the times with COVID, and we're seeing this all throughout America, more affluent Americans, they have a second home, it's not multi-generational living, they've got more space. Resources help a lot in this. And for the major college football powers, I think it's much easier than it is for some of the smaller, lower budget schools in major conferences. And that's why I think it's going to be a little bit bumpy here. But I'm not going to throw panic out. I don't think this is, you know, the worst day in the history of the Big Ten. I think Jerry Sandusky topped it by a mile. My takeaway is I'm not sure how it looks. Joy and I have said this from the beginning. We felt all, even the bubbles have worked, but they're hard on players. I watched videos yesterday of little boys seeing their dad for the first time in months, and they both break down. This is hard. It's hard for teachers. It's hard for college students. It's hard for parents. It's hard for schools. It's hard for leagues. It's hard for universities. This is hard. 2020 is a pain in the arse. This is hard. A lot of people are comfortable in habits. Now you can't have them. So it's just, this is difficult. But my job is to offer perspective. The Big Ten didn't want to be first. It's a very academic-leaning conference. There's a lot of academics and presidents that push back and push back and push back. But the parents and the coaches and the players, they were willing to play. Go out there. Potentially play other teams who have a player with COVID. That was their choice. And I feel this way in America. If you want to send your kids to school, do it. If you don't, don't. If you want to send your college kid to college, do. If you don't, don't. There are choices we all make with this. But, you know, my feeling this morning, the Big Ten didn't want to be first. They wanted to get it as close to right as they can, and they feel this morning we're as close to right as we can. But by the way, if we end up with Bama, Oklahoma, Clemson, and Ohio State, New Year's Day, who the hell cares how we got here? If that's what it looks like in January, and I'm not saying it's going to, there's going to be bumps and obstacles and cancellations. If that's what it looks like on New Year's Day, then, and you all took different paths to get there, and it was bumpy for all of you, it'll feel somewhat normal. And isn't that what we're all seeking?
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
All right, the worst thing you can do when you age is try to act young. You want to age gracefully, right? You don't want to wear skinny jeans when you're 60, because as a guy, you've got no butt, and it looks ridiculous. You don't want to wear a medium, a too tight shirt when you're 60. It's okay to age gracefully. Wear a pair of Dockers, collared shirt. It's all good. I mean, there's a lot of advantages to being, 65 years old. You got a little money finally. You moved out from your parents' house. You got control of your life. You got grandkids. The dogs still love you. You don't want to try to pretend you're young. I don't want to overreact to this, but Mike McCarthy got booted in Green Bay, and, the word was he was a little old school football. Is he now wearing a medium T-shirt? Because I'm listening to him after the game, and he's trying to change his brand and show everybody how much he loves analytics. Remember the Peter King article about a year ago? Let me read this. The Peter King article where he started dropping all this analytical stuff, and you're like, bruh, you're wearing a medium T-shirt. You're old. Get over it. He said on the Peter King article, there was a flow chart for his proposed 14-person football technology department. The top analytics lieutenants will be coordinators of database management, a coordinator of football analytics, a coordinator of mathematical innovation. Oh, good hell. Anyway, that was the Peter King article. It was clear he was trying to change his brand. I'm not outdated. I'm not Jurassic. After the Rams game, he dropped a couple of these this week, and it sounds like he's trying too hard to sound like Mr. Analytical.
We have a grading index that we put a lot of time into, and so we're closer than you may think we are.
I've never heard Belichick talk about a grading index. Okay, here's the second one, though.
When you look at the third down breakdowns just by the down and distant categories based on where the Rams were and where we were as far as the attempts, they outperformed us in efficiency of normal D&D.
D&D? Okay, I'm not trying to overreact. There's another gem. Here it is.
The thing I'm most impressed with is, the fact that we came out in our first live action and won the turnover ratio.
Turnover battle is what everybody in the history of the world called it. I don't know. Maybe I'm overreacting, but Sean McVay is creative and is multiple and has variable schemes and motions. You watched the game Sunday night. You and I both watched it, right? It wasn't like Sean McVay was doing clever stuff. This is his offense. It's all misdirection. That is Sean McVay's offense. It's multiple. It's variable. It's massive motions. It's stuff that you don't see a lot of our teams do. That's Matt Nagy in Chicago. That's Kyle Shanahan. Like, when you watch the Rams, this is not trying to be clever. This is Sean McVay and the Rams' offensive DNA. Everything's got a wiggle. Everything's got a different look. Everything's misdirection. That is not Mike McCarthy. And I understand him wanting to change his brand and be a little more current. But I'm not trying to be mean here, but doesn't it sound like he's trying a little too hard to sound current? Turnover ratio, D&D. Talking to Peter King about his analytics and coordinator of mathematical innovations. I don't know. Sometimes you just got to grow a beard. There'll be a little gray in there, and you just, you know what? My dogs like me. My TV works. It's okay. By the way, Ron Rivera is old school. Ron Rivera is old school. He lost his job. He had four suitors within a day. Mike McCarthy lost his, sat in the basement for a year. Maybe it's just, if it's not natural, it's not who you are. Ron Rivera is old school. Did you watch that game Sunday? Did you see their second half? You don't have to be a tech wizard. You don't have to be Silicon Valley tech smart to be able to motivate young alpha males. But this feels like a little too desperate for me.